According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 5.7% of residents of Boulder County under the age of 65 have a disability. These disabilities can impact people in different ways, from their home to their job.
I need help of somebody helping me taking out my wheelchair from the car and then getting into the wheelchair and then I can go to the meeting. If that meeting happens to be in a building where they don't have an elevator, that's going to be a challenge for me. I cannot do that.
And many people living with disabilities can feel isolated.
I feel I've lost a lot of friends because we used to hike together and we used to bike together, and now I'm pretty limited as to what I can do.
There are many people in the community working hard to make sure people with disabilities are included and can access spaces.
So now we take people out with disabilities and get them on the trails. And sometimes it's like their first ride ever after their accident. So they're loving it.
Today on the Trends Podcast, a collaboration between KGNU Community Radio and the Community Foundation of Boulder County, we take a look at the challenges facing those with a physical disability, the issues they face, and the solutions that they themselves are creating. I am Rosanna Longo. Being visually impaired does not stop 82-year-old Osvaldo Gomez from getting up and helping others in the community who are struggling with physical disabilities.
My name is Osvaldo Jane Gomez. I'm from Cuba. I'm a professional dancer from my country. I was at art school in Cuba. I graduated from there. I'm dancing professional for a long time. I work in here volunteer because I like to give my education when I know for the other people, split out to other people and help people.
Osvaldo is visually impaired. He has struggled for many years with other physical conditions. He's determined to share his talents with the community despite his own physical challenges.
You like the class?
I love this class. I love him. It's because of him that I'm sitting here. My neighbors had told me about Zumba before I got sick and had to come here. And then when I came in here, I fell in love with this guy. He's so great. He's really great.
¿Cómo se llama?
Salvador Álvarez.
¿Y de dónde es?
Michoacán.
México. Viva México.
Today, Osvaldo is teaching a Zumba class at the Applewood Living Center. Most of the people in his class are elderly, and all are dealing with a physical disability, and they are all in wheelchairs. But that does not stop Osvaldo.
Yeah, because the music is the most therapy you can have. The people listen to music, and the music makes you move your body. And that's what I do. I try to make it they move, because they are still so long in the chair, if they don't even move, so they need to move. They need the music, so I make it. If they happy, they move. They don't even know they move, but they move. If they having fun. So I know there's a lot of people. I do my exercise in the chair too.
Osvaldo says that being able to dance and teach others to dance has given him a purpose in life that has helped him through his own disabilities.
I have a cancer in 1989 in my stomach. So I survived the cancer too. And so I keep going because I don't want to go back to the hospital. Yes, sir. I'd keep going and exercise because it's healthy for me.
Osvaldo is visually impaired, which can often lead to isolation. He has been able to stay connected to the local community through his volunteer work, helping others with disabilities. He can stay connected to the outside world through adaptive technology. Kiman Worlo is the executive director at the Audio Information Network of Colorado.
We provide audio access to print for individuals who are blind, visually impaired, or have another condition that makes reading difficult for them. We often find that our blind listeners, visually impaired listeners, senior listeners especially, can become isolated. The seniors, if they have lost their vision later in life, it's often very difficult. They're trying to learn many alternative techniques and ways of doing things without vision all at once, very different from learning starting as a child and learning throughout your whole life. And that can be overwhelming. In some cases, they may have other conditions that make mobility difficult. And so combining that with vision loss, it's not unusual to see someone become isolated in their home and not getting out and about as much.
Of course, not everyone dealing with physical disabilities is a senior. For some, it is something that comes earlier in life.
My name is Janine Fox, and I'm 53, and I was diagnosed with MS in August of 2011. And my father actually had MS as well and was completely disabled, quadriplegic, couldn't move anything. So I'm familiar with the disease, unfortunately. I have been living here in Boulder for over 25 years and was a real estate agent for many, many years and an avid cyclist and hiker and swimmer. And once I was diagnosed, I had to retire from doing real estate because my disability made it not possible for me to work anymore.
It takes a lot of effort for Janine to get out and about, but she does it to stay connected.
It's a challenge for me to get from my front door to the car at this point. And I walk with walking sticks. And I also have an electric scooter now. So for longer traveling and for longer distances in town, I'm on an electric scooter. But maneuvering around town I can do on my sticks, but I move very, very slowly. And the effort it takes for each step in concentrating so I don't trip and fall means that I'm not engaging with people. And that makes me definitely feel like more of an outsider than I already feel.
Another way Janine stays connected and finds a sense of purpose is through her volunteer work at Intercambio.
All right, good. So you, this is pronunciation, so you listen and repeat after me, okay?
Okay.
David doesn't drink.
She teaches English several times a week. Today she's working with Leticia from Spain.
Dunking a dozen donuts.
But he does dream of dunking.
Because Janine could not longer work because of MS, she's able to devote more time to volunteering, something which has given her real purpose.
And that has been, I think, the most rewarding thing I've ever done. So I have, I guess, the disease to thank for that.
But there are many things that Janine cannot longer do.
I miss more than anything hiking and being able to be physical with people. I live here in Boulder and everybody is very active. And I feel I've lost a lot of friends because we used to hike together and we used to bike together. And now I'm pretty limited as to what I can do. And a couple friends said to me when I was diagnosed that it's okay, Janine, because now we'll just cook together. So now I have friends that I cook with, which is fun and rewarding as well, because then I'm providing that for my family.
Janine Fox says that having a physical disability in a community as sporty and healthy as Boulder can lead to even greater feelings of isolation.
I am particularly isolated here living in Boulder, I feel, because I feel like it's just a community of Lycra and a lot of heavy breathing and reps and, you know, your ability to perform to the highest level you can. And that's just not anywhere in my sphere at this moment.
Disability can be an isolating experience, and it can often be made worse when the disability is invisible. This is something Mandy Taylor has experienced. She had Lyme disease that went undiagnosed for years, leaving her feeling alone and misunderstood.
Finally, when I got the diagnosis and started treatment, I really descended into kind of an abyss of loneliness. And I think that's very common for people with invisible illnesses because, you know, we look fine, but we're suffering. And especially when you have an illness that's not recognized by the public and even the medical establishment, I think that you become even more isolated because you're constantly trying to explain yourself and you don't have the energy anyway at times. My experience with loneliness has been profound the last several years, and I feel like I'm finally starting to dig my way out of that. Of course, I know, you know, that friendships and being with people is, you know, these pro-social activities are so important for, you know, keeping depression at bay and really being healthy mentally. And also it helps you physically and helps your immune system. But, you know, sometimes when you feel so bad, you know, you just don't want to go out and be that person that's like, oh, I'm, you know, I don't feel well. Because honestly, I really don't feel well a lot of the time.
Eugenia Brady is another Boulder County resident who was faced with a physical disability that turned her life upside down.
I got amputated in November 2 years ago, Rosanna. And so that changed my life. My whole life changed.
But because of her prior work in the community, Eugenia felt supported when faced with her own challenges. She's a family advocate for the Association of Community Living. The ACL supports people with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
I have been working there for some years, always advocating for people with disabilities. My team works with students from preschool until they are graduating or entering college. But we have also advocates to work with young adults and adults that who have disabilities. And in all this time, part of the our work is the mission and vision of the ACL that people with disabilities is included in the community as a natural part of it.
Eugenia drew on her experience working in the community to help her adjust to her new situation.
I have been an ally of people with disabilities for many, many years. I learned so many things from them. And so I knew that life goes on. You cannot sit down and see your life go by, right? You cannot do that. You have to keep going. And so for that, I don't have issues. I do. I still have challenges that I need to face.
Some of these challenges include accessibility.
One of the things, for instance, that I used to do was visiting schools and going to meetings with parents. And nowadays, because I'm in a wheelchair, that is very difficult for me. Not just in the bad weather, like when it snows or it's snowing, but also even in a very good day, it is difficult because I can drive now. But if I get to school and I get like in the back parking lot and there's nobody there who can see me, it's going to be bad because I need help of somebody helping me taking out my wheelchair from the car and then me getting into the wheelchair and then I can go to the meeting. If that meeting happens to be in a building where they don't have an elevator, that's going to be a challenge for me. I cannot do that. So it is different things that I have to think about when, how am I going to continue doing this?
Eugenia has been able to continue in her work by using technology.
So what I do now is offering my services via video call or a phone call. And so the parents or the school calls me, and then I'm there with the parents, you know, in the same meeting. I'm not be present over there, even though I have been present in some of the meetings, but sometimes I cannot be there. But I'm there on a phone or in the video call, and that gives me the chance to still advocate for the student and, you know, make some recommendations or, you know, be part of the team. And the parents don't feel like they are alone, because that's, I never have let them, you know, on their own. It's just that it took time for me for my recovery. That was very slow. And once that I got into my job again, I had to think about how am I going to do this, if I can do it. I still have plans for the rest of, for next year, and how are we going to be, some of the things that we used to do. And it's exciting. It's exciting to see that we can still continue to do things that I used to do before, not exactly the same way, but a little different. But the message is the same.
While Eugenia was able to continue with her work, many others, like Janine, faced the prospect of losing a job. According to the Department of Labor, the unemployment rate for people with a disability was 8% in 2018. That is more than twice the rate of those with no disabilities. Teresa Diani with the Boulder County Area Agency on Aging says that the entire community needs to be involved in the conversation on how to support those with disabilities.
We really need a dialogue about what the needs are and what we are able to offer and what we need to plan to offer in the future. Mm-hmm. It's going to really help everybody in the long run.
Teresa says the community also needs to recognize that there are many forms of disability.
There's the ability to walk or the ability to get around well enough in a wheelchair. There's an ability to hear well. There's an ability to see. There's all sorts of different abilities. And of course, there's some hidden disabilities, like people who have brain injuries, where it's not so obvious that there are some challenges that they're dealing with. I think that regardless of age, that it's important to recognize that there is a need for people in our community to navigate their lives more easy than I think it currently is. I'm talking about transportation availability, the way the sidewalks are, or how many seconds the crosswalk takes. Talking about a lot of different things. If somebody's not able to see, they are reliant on transportation. They are reliant on other kind of technologies that should be available to them if they go into any government facility or building. They should be able to ask for what they need. They should be able to know who to ask for.
And she says it is so important that our community recognizes the challenges facing many with disabilities and the risk they run of becoming completely isolated.
If you don't feel valued, if you don't feel like you can be comfortable in community, then you are, by virtue of that situation, you're becoming socially isolated and not part of the community. And that leads to depression. That also leads to physical health issues.
So we're on the Boulder Creek path right now, just out by...
The city of Boulder is making an effort to make more and more public spaces accessible.
They're all kind of connected by the post office. My name is Topher Downham. I'm with the city of Boulder Open Space and Mountain Parks. I'm an outreach coordinator, and I'm quadriplegic. Almost 24 years ago, I was hanging out with my Norwegian buddies here in Boulder. And two of us lost everybody, so we decided we should go for a swim. And we climbed over the fence, and he walked into the pool, and I dove in and put my arms down, ended up just smacking my head in the bottom and breaking my neck, the C6-7, lowest two vertebrae in the cervical collar, and or cervical area, and couldn't move my arms or legs, so got a lot of surgery on the neck. Cadaver bones were put in, and a titanium plate. So I was able to get my biceps back from that, and then I was eventually able to get triceps, too.
Topher did recover some motion in his hands.
And that has made all the difference in the world for me getting out and about. I can drive my own car, I can bike, I can ski, I can do all sorts of different sports. I can hike, and if I fall out of my chair, I can get back in. So it's opened up a lot of freedom having like those triceps and the biceps. And like one of the things that I did right after I got in the wheelchair was get out a lot. Whenever I got pissed off at the world, I'd go for a push, and I'd find one of the trails around Boulder and just push as hard as I could, get the endorphins going, and then I'd just hang out and meditate by a stream, and I felt better again. I felt the connection with nature, and I felt the connection with people.
The connection that Topher gets with others when he's outdoors has driven him to make more open spaces accessible.
Because of how I felt when I went out there, I started to think, wow, I should like help other people get out here. And so I worked with some different groups. I volunteered to put together a guidebook. And we put it together, got other people out. Then I eventually got a job here at Open Space Mountain Parks. And we started taking people on hikes and like fall color hikes and bird watching hikes and people with disabilities doing all sorts of different things.
Topher says Open Space and Mountain Parks has invested in adaptive equipment to help people get on the trails.
And then we got bikes. We got all these power assist all-terrain hand cycles. So now we take people out with disabilities and get them on the trails. And sometimes it's like their first ride ever after their accident. So they're loving it. They're tentative at first, and then by the time they're over, they're like super psyched, and they're like, wow, I can do this by myself, and I'm like going further than a wheelchair would ever take me, and they just have a big smile on their face. It's really awesome, and that's kind of one of my goals, is just to get as many people outside, connecting with nature, feeling good about themselves as possible.
Vijay Viswanathan also works with Boulder Open Space and Mountain Parks on accessibility. At a recent adaptive sports event, he spoke on his own experience and how he got involved in the work.
And I was injured in 2003 in a rappelling accident that left me paralyzed from my chest down. And being in Boulder has been a blessing because of all of the motivated, active people that are attracted to this town and that live here. Right after my accident, I was fortunate to meet a number of people that were excited about helping me get back into the sports that I used to do, that I used to love, like skiing and climbing and fishing. And I was fortunate to have also been able to be admitted to Craig Hospital, that has a really progressive outdoor recreation department and therapeutic recreation staff that was able to help get me back outside and active very soon after my injury.
BJ has also worked with CU Boulder in helping their recreation programs become more inclusive. He says it is so important that we provide opportunities to recreate and exercise.
It can be hard sometimes to get outside, especially when you've got a disability that might require you needing help from other people to participate in a sport or assistance while you're out if you get stuck or, you know, maybe fall off a bike or something like that, or fall while you're skiing. But like I said, being here, I've found a community that is always available and willing to help get me outside and accompany me.
Adaptive sports is growing here in Boulder County. Bill Goldstein discovered adaptive sports 5 years ago when he lost his leg to a diabetic infection.
And I was very fortunate to discover Ignite Adaptive Sports. Ignite teaches people of all disabilities snow sports, which includes snowboarding, skiing, cross-country skiing. And we do this at Eldora Mountain right here, right outside of Boulder. And one of the things that we also do is we try to keep it affordable. There are many costs associated with being disabled and certainly with skiing. In my case, you know, it was really kind of a life-changing event. First getting back on skiing, then becoming an instructor and learning to appreciate how much joy really comes from helping others and giving.
There are many people working to make Boulder County more accessible. Craig Toler was thrown into this world just over 3 years ago.
I guess the most recent part of my story started about 3.5 years ago, almost more than that. It was July 4th, 2016. I was standing in front of my house right here in Boulder off of 30th Street after putting on a race at the Boulder Reservoir. And there was an impaired and texting driver who went off the road and hit the car parked behind me. And I was standing at the bumper at the time, and it shot that car forward and crushed me between the bumpers, immediately disconnecting my legs right there on site. I was taken to Boulder Community Hospital and then Flight for Life to Denver Health, where I had both of my legs amputated. And from there, I spent about 2 weeks in the ICU and then was moved to Boulder Community Outpatient or Inpatient Care, which is in North Boulder, the old Boulder Community Hospital off of 28th Street. And I spent about a month there in inpatient care.
But in his recovery, Craig realized that there were gaps in the support.
And then I remember speaking to a nurse one morning in early August 2016, and she said, "Oh, I heard you're going to go home tomorrow." And I looked at her and said, "Really? I guess that's good news." But with that good news came, you know, a lot of fear and uncertainty and confusion, because where I was at, I just started becoming comfortable in this very, you know, secluded, controlled space. And the idea of going back and being dropped back into, you know, the real world after, you know, such a traumatic incident was very overwhelming. But then the next day came and I was released and I got home, and I remember kind of just sitting there going, "Well, what now?" I was now sitting at home as a bilateral amputee with kind of this whole new world that I had to figure out how to be a part of now, without really any introduction or structure to how to accomplish that. And I remember with this time, there's just, you know, you feel really lost and not sure what to do with yourself and how to, if you're doing what you're doing is right, and you're really unsure just because you're uncomfortable with I was uncomfortable with my new body, and I wasn't confident in my skills, and I felt really vulnerable due to my injuries and now being a wheelchair user, and, you know, you just don't feel like yourself, and then being put back into your old life, you don't feel comfortable because you're not the same, but yet you are. So you're kind of in this limbo zone where you're trying to figure it all out.
His experience led him to create a service called Amputee Concierge.
And it's just an online victims advocacy platform designed to help direct people to resources and, you know, just help eliminate that downtime in between looking for the answer and getting the value from it.
And that now has propelled you also to create something else.
Yeah. And from Amputee Concierge, this every project and everything since my injuries has kind of been an evolution, not only of confidence, but an evolution of thought and how I look at things. And as I was looking at the issues that I was having to figure out with myself and for members in the community asking, I realized that accessibility fit perfectly in there, because now as a bilateral amputee, I have mobility needs. And right now my main form of mobility is a wheelchair. And I've realized that even though, you know, from mainstream society, you think that every place is accessible, you see, you know, the handicap placards everywhere, and that kind of is a no-brainer that, oh, of course, it's, you know, 2019, almost 2020, of course, every place is accessible. And then after that kind of blanket statement, it's not talked about anymore, because that box has already been checked in a lot of people's views and minds. But there's a disconnect between accessibility and ADA compliance from personal experience. And that's something that didn't make sense to me, because to have a disconnect between the service and the resource from the user experience, there's going to be a gap in care, and it's obviously not going to encompass everyone's needs. And that's also something that needs to be continuously evolving with more input and more people, you know, demonstrating their needs and speaking up about what resources they need and what accessibility features aren't there that are needed. And that led to Accessible Boulder, which is our mission to geomap Boulder and hopefully expand to any city that we can with user engagement and map locations from an accessible standpoint, giving the information from a user perspective that isn't readily available, so that when someone who has a mobility need, whether it be a wheelchair or prosthetics or a walker or a cane or hearing impaired, vision impaired, deaf or blind, or anything to needing a baby changing station, they'll have a resource that they can go to and find answers to specific questions to their needs that just isn't there. And that's kind of how we're trying to help people build confidence with themselves, and with confidence they can go out and experience their communities the way it's intended, which is equal access and equal opportunity.
Craig's vision has come to life in the co-op Accessible Boulder.
Is a co-op and a community gathering of how we're going to collect the information about the accessibility, the accessible locations. And it's not just going to be one person going through. It's not just going to be me going to all these locations and writing down what I think is accessible about them, because I only have my experiences and my mobility needs. So that is only specific to my experience. So what we're doing is opening it up to collecting data through crowdsourcing, so that anyone and everyone who has a specific need, wherever they go, they'll have the ability to fill out a mobility checklist and send that information to us for us to then post and share with the community, so that we can try and get a snapshot of everyone from the community and share as many different perspectives and needs as possible, so that we can be inclusive of everyone. And the only way to do that is to get the information directly from those people telling us what they personally need, instead of trying to tell them. And that's how we think we're going to be successful with, you know, creating a resource that brings value to people.
There are many challenges facing people with disabilities and mobility issues, but we, as a community, must find ways to make work, transit, housing, recreation, and all aspects of life more accessible. For KGNU and the Trans Podcast, I am Rosanna Longo.